Amen. Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that we're in. Father God, we just ask and we pray for your leading with us tonight. Pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would all be in one accord with each other and you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for all that you are doing. Lord, I ask and I pray for new revelations tonight for a lot of people tonight, that this verses that we're going to go into tonight will open up their mind's eye and their spiritual eyes to see and to understand that who they are in Christ, what is available to them. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for healing everybody that needs it. And Lord, I thank you that this winter weather that's coming around up north, that the enemy would not be seeding that thing to do more than it naturally is possible in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, for all you're doing in us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, has anybody else got a prayer? Lord, I thank you for bringing down the deep state, bringing down the enemy, bringing down all of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for the things that you've given us today. And I thank you for what you're going to do. And it's going to be an awesome time. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, you know what I'm talking about. And I thank you for it. Julie, go ahead.
Amen. Well, Father, I praise you and thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty over everything and all our trials. I thank you, Lord, for the longevity of some things. So we learn our endurance and patience and trusting and fighting the good fight of faith. And we just keep using the armor of God and swinging our sword, and we become stronger and you bring to pass everything that we speak, Lord. Your word is power. I thank you for doing that, Father. And I have been hearing sirens all day, and there's still stuff going on, and I don't know what it is out there. There's all kinds of activity all day long. I've been hearing sirens. And Lord, I pray your blessing on people. I pray blessings on all these first responders, law enforcement, and whoever and whatever the needs are, God. I pray for your mercy, your protection on my neighborhood, God, and in all of our neighborhoods, that we have protection, we have safety where we're at and our comings and our goings. And I thank you, Lord, that you are watching over all of us, Lord. I pray against all nefarious activities and lawlessness and criminals and just chaos and violence and anger and rage and rebellion, anarchy, and everything, anything the deep state may be planning and doing. We bind that and cast that down and command that to fail in the name of Jesus. That's not just because I'm hearing these sirens, but just because I know that they're up to no good always, Lord. So we speak failure to all of their plans. We speak confusion into their midst, Lord. And we just command just the angels to go forth and scatter them, rout them, let them turn on each other. Let them get caught in their plans that they make. Let them make mistakes and get caught, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. The angels are driving out, exporting these illegals, Lord, until they're all gone. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that too, in Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you, Father. Cleansing our country from these outlaws, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Patrick.
Father, we thank you for your preparation in this time, and thank you for the times that we are in. Bringing down the deep state and transitioning over into the Cyrus kingdom. We thank you for that, Lord. We would ask, come before you, Lord, and ask you to open up the hearts of those receptive to the gospel. Bring on a revival in this time, Lord, and strengthen the Holy Spirit in us And in all those that call upon your name, Lord, and bring forth a heart of repentance and a heart of desire to walk wholeheartedly in you, lock, stock, and barrel. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're doing in us tonight. And thank you for household salvation, Lord, and bringing each and every one you have called into your kingdom with the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it, Lord. Just bring on revival. And we ask for that to start in our hearts. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Revival. Revival. Okay. I got. What is that? Yes, just have revival. Does anybody want revival? Thank you, Lord, that revival is on the way, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we all believe it. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to keep on praying for it until it happens. And I can tell you this: it'll happen when we want it to happen, and that's when we just come close to you, Lord. And there's going to be a revival in us, and if there's a revival in us, Lord, it's going to go with us, and we're going out there. Make it multiply in the name of Jesus. How many of you would like to have a revival in your spirit? Woo, glory to God. Well, that's simple too. That's simple too, and you all know. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. The thing that I put in the chat today, let's see. Okay. The thing I put in the chat today in the I forget the name of the chat itself, but it's in the Signal chat. I would advise you to check it every day. Somebody's always putting some nice word in there. It's pretty good stuff. And okay, just a minute. Let me. So take a look at that. We're going to play a song, and take a look at that verse in Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. And the reason I want you to look at it and study it and meditate on it is because of the healing message that's in there that is so important. So anyway, go ahead, Julie. Let me give you the doohickey. All right, go ahead. What's the matter, Missy? Put a smile on your face, girl. Good gracious.
Saved me, he rescued me. set me free. And ever since I've been changed, I've never been the same. And I can lift my hands and say, thank you for your grace.
I walk in authority.
We give you praise, Lord. Glory. You deserve it, Lord. Praise be to God. That's a good to kick off things tonight with. All right. Let me read this verses here. Lord, bless us tonight with outstanding spiritual revelations, Lord, out of your word. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All right. So what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? I'll tell you what it means to me, and I wish I had come up with it, but I found it in some other studies. This is the same as Jesus taking our sins, and we just believe that he's done it, right? That's the atonement. He has taken it for us, so we don't have to put up with sin. Same thing with healing. That's what he's talking about in 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Not his. Ours. He did this for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. This is not healing. I'm telling you, it was an eye-opener for me. Healing is not something we have to ask God for. It's already been done. It's part of the atonement. We don't have to beg God. We don't have to plead with God. All we have to do is thank him that it is done and praise him. I thank you, Lord, that you have healed me. I don't have to put up with this devil coming upon me, stealing my physical health. And I thank you, Lord, that I can send this devil off and all of his little buddies right now in Jesus' name, and I'm healed. That's what it means. Too many of our people, they want to beg God. They want to wait on God to heal you. You don't have to wait. He took all that on him. So we don't have to put up with it. We've been taught wrong about sickness and our health and what Jesus is to us about our health. I'm going to have a Bible study tomorrow on this particular subject. That's the reason I wanted to bring y'all into it. Yeah. Bring y'all into it to help me out with it. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know that every one of us should be walking in divine health? You know what divine health is? Not having any sickness come upon you. And if it does, it has to go that quick. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was thinking about this a week ago, and I'm just looking for a verse right here. So, since I'm not very good at talking and thinking and at the same time, let's see. Maybe I just ask you, what is that verse? I think it's in Romans, but with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession.
Romans
Is that?
8, Romans 8, no, Romans 10, 10, 9 and 10.
Thank you. 10, 10, 10, right. So as I was thinking about this verse, thank you, Julie. You know, it's these we've come to understand that this verse, I know the traditional Christianity today believes, you know, tends to believe that the healing that is being spoken of there, of course, is spiritual and not a fit, not connected to physical healing. I'm thinking, you know, obviously everybody here understands that that is a deception, but and quite frankly irrelevant anyway. But the thing I was thinking about the other day is that in these verses, it is connected, so connected with our redemption, our salvation of our soul, our born again experience, and it's connected in the same verses. And it just, as I was thinking about it, it is apprehended the exact same way. And that is when we believe in Christ and, you know, have understood his the forgiveness that God has given us through the sacrifice, the blood of Christ. And we see that, we grab onto that by faith. And once we have grabbed onto it by faith, of course, these verses that I asked Julie about is that word of faith which we preach in verse Romans 10:8, what saith is, the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. And obviously we eagerly accept that our salvation is by faith, and we speak it such. It is by faith, and we confess it as by faith. And for some reason, the world system of theology or whatever has convinced us that even though our salvation is by faith, somehow healing is connected in some other way. Maybe, you know, that it's not obtained the very same way. And that very same way is by faith that it has been done, the very same faith that says, Jesus died 2,000 years ago on a cross and sacrificed his life that I may have, that I might believe in him and have that life. And yet one verse ahead of that is the verses of healing in Isaiah 53 that Michael has brought us on to 53:3. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one of whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. So the verse 5 in that, he was
Pat,
wounded.
can I interrupt you just a second? I want to
Sure.
clarify something for you. In verse 4, it says in the ASV, surely he has borne our griefs. That word griefs in the Hebrew means disease. And the word sorrows means pain. So he has borne our diseases and carried our pain. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Correct. Which I had mentioned before that your sicknesses, spirits do not have sicknesses. They have thoughts, or motivations or desires. They don't have sicknesses. So there's some, the wording, the very wording in these verses, if you think about what it's actually saying, it has the indication that it's talking about physical and not spiritual. But I guess just the thing that I was thinking is that, we in verse 5, we look at these the woundings and the bruises and everything, and for whatever reason want to apply that to our salvation and forgiveness of sin, as opposed to what it's saying, that by his stripes we are healed. Stripes and healing are all things that happened in a physical body and do happen in a physical body. So, but the point, I guess, that I was making is that it is applied and received the same way we received forgiveness of sins by faith, by a confession of what was in our heart. We receive our healing the same way, by faith and through confession of our mouth. So I guess I'm just thinking that because it is so close in these verses 3, 4, and 5, that atonement is so interwoven and connected with healing. It's right there in the same verses and in that place. Therefore, it's applied and received in the very same way. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew or Ben. Thank you, Pat. If you're talking, we can't hear you. Oh, there you go.
I guess I didn't hear you to say go ahead.
Okay.
I didn't really read this for too long today, but I did kind of look at it, I don't know, for a little bit before we came on here, and I think I've probably read these verses like I don't even know how many times. Like wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we were healed. I think I know these verses very well, but something that really pointed out to me when I was reading it just today, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So this peace that we are given because of this chastisement, and it makes me really think about who we are and sort of that relationship that we have with God the Father. It reminds me of Colossians. I think Joe put it in the chat here. Colossians 1:18, 19, and I'll put 20 as well. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, and in all he might have preeminence. For the whole fullness was pleased to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things unto him, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether the things upon the earth or those in the heavens. And so, I'm so, like, with those verses, those healing verses, I'm 100% convinced that I'm always going to be healed in Jesus' name. There's no word of a doubt. And if there's anything if there's a sickness on me, or if there's anything wrong with me, or I'm sick or something, then it's something wrong with me. You know what I mean? I'm so surely convinced. And so with that verse about by his chastisement, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, sort of that reconciliation to God started at the cross. Who you are in Christ started at the cross. This new born again being, this new creation, this new thing that God wanted since the beginning started at the cross. And so, yes, there's the healing and there's the forgiveness and all that, but this new born again person is now alive and started. This new creation is now here and begun. And, you know, to really fathom that, that's the whole point, really. That's the whole point of what God wanted, is this new created being to be alive now. And so that's just kind of what I was thinking when I read that verse.
Amen. Let me say something about all of this. We're not hoping or wishing for anything. We're declaring it with every breath that we, somebody asks you, sir, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Well, you got this or you got that. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I'm healed. I'm healed. And I just think, whatever it is that you're saying, it's gone. That's just like when somebody says, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Are you da 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 da? And you said, yes, I'm a Christian. Same way with healing. Same way with every other thing that you're waiting for in Christ. You're not waiting for it anymore. I'm sorry, I misspoke. You've already gotten it. And that's where God wants it. What is it that he says in, what is it, 2 Corinthians 1:18? Is that the one? I'm Jesus all the way. I probably got the verse wrong, but you know what I'm talking about. I see myself as Jesus. We're constantly calling each other Jesus. You look like Jesus. Well, that's because I am. That's what the word says. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm sorry. It's been a while since I looked at that. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are to look at ourselves as Jesus. And listen to me, when we get a hold of this, what we're talking about tonight, we will walk in divine health and no sin will come around us. I guarantee you. When we get a hold of what Jesus has done for us, we won't have to have somebody pray for us. We won't have to, we will know. I'm always amazed at what I read when I read that part about E.W. Kenyon went 40 years without anybody dying of disease or any kind of affliction. Nothing. And the reason, I guess, is because he taught the people that you don't have to put up with it. We don't have to put, I don't have to put up with what the enemy has tried to put on me. You don't have to. And when we get that thing in our spirit that it says, devil, I rebuke you in the name. Haven't you read this word right here? It says, Jesus took this upon him. I ain't got to. And I'm not going to. You gather all your little demons up to get out of here right now. I rebuke you and I rebuke all the pain or the suffering that you caused me. In Jesus' name, it is gone right now. In Jesus' name. And we have to be adamant. When that devil figures out you mean business, it's gone. I'm sorry, Pat, was that you? Had your hand up?
Yes, I was thinking when you were saying that, the thought came to me is that where is that healing? Where did it take place? So if we were healed by the stripes of Jesus, and we were, where does that healing start for us? It starts in our spirit. I believe it starts in our spirit. And so we are given that healing in our spirit, and what we do with it, I believe depends upon how and when we see it manifested. Because I guess that's why I was hanging on these verses here, that for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. The heart is not the body. The heart is the inner part of us, the invisible part of us, inside of us that can't be seen. And we know from the scripture that inner part of us is built, is consists of two elements, the spirit, our spirit, and our soul. And if with the heart man believes unto righteousness, that means that believing in the heart must transmit through the soul in order to impact the body, because the soul is the interface of our spirit to our body. And just like the sitting in front of a computer, and I say this, that's where the battle is. That's where the battle is, in confession, at least in my life, in confession, getting it from that spirit through the soul, out of the mouth, and making confession. And in this sentence, I also confess that that is my been my fault. And that's where I have experienced the major amount of battle, of temptation to quiet, to shut up, being willing to cover my light with the bushel or whatever it else, provide a thousand different excuses for not actually speaking forth and confessing that which is in my heart, which is what I believe. Because it's in the spirit, it's in our spirit, that healing is in our spirit, and I believe it just needs to be pushed out through our soul, through our mouth, and make confession of that. As I was thinking about that, there was, and this is something that I had been thinking about before, and that is, that's exactly how Jesus did it. He said, I think in John 14, the works that you see me do are not mine, they're my Father's in me doing the works. And he was simply following the will of the Lord, what he knew to be God's will, and walked in it, and did what the Spirit was showing him to do. And there was a harmony of his will and his soul in unity with the Father. Not my will, but thine be done, you know, he said. And in that will, that willingness or that submission to the Father, allowing his spirit to motivate and do the works out through his soul and perform those works. And I think the same thing happens with us, should be happening with us, shall I say. Except we have an additional benefit of that Jesus did not have, because we have Jesus in us through virtue of his word and his spirit, and we also have the Holy Spirit from our Father, which Jesus had. And we have both Jesus and the Spirit of our Father. And but I believe the principle and the process is the very same thing, is the very, as we align our will with him, our will being our spirit and our soul, and aligning up with his will, his purpose, and submitting unto that, that we can expect his life to be expressed through the power of our Father's Holy Spirit within us. But we still, I believe, need to submit to that will and speak, do, go, all of those things in unison and in obedience and submission to the Word of God and obviously being led by the Holy Spirit. So I think the connection and the power there of and then there's also the other scenario that he has given us authority to exercise that authority and establish his dominion in the earth today. And that dominion, of course, starts in us, in our spirit taking dominion over our soul, establishing the dominion of Christ in our soul, and allowing that the will of Christ to be manifested through our body. So anyway, and I think the connection of healing it is that same process, spirit, soul, body. But I think obviously we our spirit has a need, and I think this is where revival comes in, is it the power of the Holy Spirit with us, in us, obviously helps us to submit in the spirit and exercise that dominion over our soul in order to ensure that that happens through manifestation of our body. So, anyway, I think I'm going to end it there and let someone else talk.
Amen. Okay. That was good, Pat. Let's talk just a minute about, let's look at, let me look, let me find it. Isaiah 52:14. Listen to what God laid on Jesus. And he didn't do it when he was angry. He did it in love. He was our substitute. Jesus took our place. Isaiah 54:14 shows us the depth of Jesus's suffering. Like as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. In the cross reference in some Bibles, it says men were dumbfounded at him for because he was deformed. His appearance was not even, they couldn't even tell that he was a man. His figure was not even to look like a human. Every cancer, disease, hurt, pain was put on him at that particular time. All of that, he was the scapegoat for us so that we wouldn't have to put up with it. Now, just visualize that in your mind. He did that for us. That was his love for us. The Father put it on him so that we wouldn't have to put up with it. That's really set me on fire for the love of Jesus, the love that he had for each and every one of us. Every disease imaginable was put on him, and he was so physically messed up, they couldn't even tell he was a human. And he did that for us so that we wouldn't have to go through it. We're not going to go through it anymore, are we? We're going to declare and confess that we're healed because Jesus took my, whatever it is that you got, put that in there. He took that and we don't own it. It belongs to the devil. The devil has to take it and get out. We rebuke you, Satan. You have been found out. You have no place in this body. You have no place in any of these bodies, in anybody right here. In Jesus' name. That is amazing to me. He took every disease known to man, every sickness known to man, every malady, every pain known to man upon himself, so that we wouldn't have to. And all we have to do to get rid of it is to rebuke Satan and just go on like it's not even done. Don't confess it ever again. I can't hear you. What? No, I ain't saying that no more. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here gets a hold of this message and is healed, delivered, and set free this evening in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And there's lots more. He wants us to look like him. How can we look like him if we confess that we're sick all the time? Listen to me real carefully now. Sickness and disease is a spiritual thing upon us. It's not a physical thing. What happened? What brought the sickness and the diseases on? Tell me. Somebody tell me. Upon humanity. I think Missy had her. Yeah, thank you. Just blurt it right out. That's good, Pat. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, where did it start? Adam and Eve, wasn't it? It started with Adam and Eve. It stops right here, don't it? Not listening to God. So that's one of the key things that I want to encourage all of us. I'm encouraging myself too when I speak about it, because it is so awesome to find out and to understand what Jesus went through for us, for you, Debbie, for you, Missy, for you, Julie, for Vanita, Samuel, Barbara, Josie, Joe, Andrew, and Ben, and Pat, and all of our families and our friends. We ain't got to put up with it anymore, do we? And we're not going to either. You know what? I'll wait till tomorrow to bring that one out. Well, what's James 5 for? I'll just mention it briefly.
I'm sorry, what verse, Michael?
James. Hang on just a second. I'll have the correct one here. It's in James 5. Is any among you sick? Is any among you sick? You shouldn't be. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. He even gave us scriptures for the carnal Christian that won't believe that God heals. You see what I'm saying? He's even given us that for people who don't understand that they can heal. We can heal ourselves. God's going to heal you. All we have to do is confess it and believe it. That's what I'm trying to say. We like it when they do that. Don't get me wrong. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. He wants us to grow up and walk in divine health. And that's what I want to do too. I want everybody to be walking in divine health. How many of you want to walk in divine health and not have to worry about it? Yes, glory to God. And I hope this is encouraging you to start doing like I'm going to start. I'm going to be cussing, not cussing him, but I'm going to be cursing the devil every step I take. I might do a little of the other too, but I doubt it. I ain't going to go back to that. Amen. We all are. We all are going to receive all the kingdom benefits. They're available to us because Jesus went to the cross for us to get them. And we don't have any lack in our provisions either, do we? Amen, Barbara. You keep saying it too, girls. You're walking in divine health. And not only that, we don't have to put up with our mental attitude either, do we? We do not have to. If something comes on you, if a little faction comes on you, or a little anger comes on you, jealousy, all of those things that hinder some people, you know, you say, oh, look, I'm an overcomer. That's what God said. If God said it, I believe it. Yes, Joe, we have to accept that reconciliation. I do. Anybody not receive it, raise your hand. Amen. No, we all do. All right. Has anybody got anything they want to add? I just get excited when I understand everybody's going to walk in this same thing. Because we're going to be talking about it a long time. Does anybody not want to talk about it? Okay, Pat, if you don't want to talk about it, I'm sorry, brother. I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
So in verse 12, verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied by the knowledge of him.
What book?
I'm in Isaiah 53:11.
Okay. I was in 52. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because he went through all of this travail and all of this, these beatings and all of, you know, and the torture that he went through, and he suffered death. It says, so the Father says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And I heard someone preach that one time, that is the interesting thing there is that God the Father is speaking of Jesus, and he said, therefore, because he went through this, I will divide him a portion with the great. In other words, he's going to divide up the spoils. Well, the thought was, and who's he going to divide him with? And of course, the very next thing, he's not going to divide the spoils with the wicked. He's going to divide the spoils with his children, with his sons. So the Father is already said, because Jesus has done this, I'm going to divide the spoils. The spoils. So I guess you just have to think of, he's going to divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And this one that was preaching this said, now who is the strong? He said, that is us. And then somebody said, well, but I am weak. I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. I'm weak in the faith. And then he said, then let the weak say, I am strong. And the spoil and that portion that he is dividing is with us that have come into the kingdom as a result of what he has done. So, and I think he was looking at that spoil. What is the spoil? It is spoiling the devil, spoiling his kingdom, removing his booty, so to speak, from his hand, it by forcefully going out and removing those that he has captured by deception and wickedness and that are in his kingdom, and removing them from his kingdom by the power of God, by the truth of the gospel. So anyway, I just wanted to toss that in at the end there.
Amen. Amen. Or does anyone else wanna got anything they'd like to share? About these verses. Yeah, Pat.
Just one quick note there is that spoil, he referred to that spoil as connected to healing because the devil, in a sense, through his deception and deceit, has stolen health and healing from the people of the world and the people of God. He has stolen that. And it's up to us to go get it back
Amen.
by the truth and by the word and to take that from him. That taking that health back and giving it to the one that needs it. So anyway, that's the was the spoil or is the spoil.
Amen. Anybody else got something they'd like to share or got a question? Yeah, Debbie. We can't read your lips, which it's just real hard for me to do that. You
That's right.
gotta
Verses 3 through 6 is a song, so can I share that song?
Yeah.
Okay. It's very pretty. It's pretty with the music, but okay. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hid it, and but we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen.
Lord, glory be to God. Yeah, that's a good one.
Amen.
Amen. Put one of them up there for me too, Julie. She put a heart up there for you, Debbie.
Oh, thank you.
They were floating hearts.
Oh.
How many of you know that when you get a hold of this atonement on healing, that the devil's going to fight harder to try to keep you out of it? Yeah, there you go. The devil's going to come back. He's going to try to fight hard to keep you out of this divine health garbage, this garbage stuff. He really is. He's going to fight hard. But what he knows is if the church really gets a hold of this, he's in trouble. He's in big trouble. If we can get a hold of this, we'll have victory after victory after victory after victory.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
What was that, Debbie?
Oops. Thank you, Father.
I didn't think you understood you were muted. Well, not muted. Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
The verse that Patrick was reading before, and I can't remember what verse it was in chapter 52, when he was talking about the spoil. And I just clicked on that in Esau just to, you know, what it means. And one of the things it says is the arms stripped from a foe, the spoils. And another word, another Greek word for that meaning was the top of a heap, like the highest top, the choicest spoils, like the best, you know, of pillage and spoiling. Anyhow, I just thought that was kind of, it's like, it's the best, you know, the very top, the best. That's what we get, you know, take a portion of, you know, he's given that to us. You know, and something you were saying, Michael, at the and when we get the revelation of by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed in Isaiah 53 and the atonement and all those things. And it is a battle. It is a battle of what I've been experiencing and going through is just, you know, just dealing with the enemy, just trying to put doubt in my head and double mindedness. And they lie, they bluff, they manifest, sometimes they get worse, you know, whatever the things are. And you just have to keep swinging the sword against it, you know, and confessing unto salvation, as Pat was talking about earlier. Yeah, anyway. Thank you, Lord, that we are healed. And everything you did for us at the cross, Father, deliver us all from the doubt and unbelief and double-mindedness and uncertainty and walking by sight. You know, we live by faith and we confess who we are, and the devil can't stand before us. Period.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus. That's
Amen.
Right.
I take all your lying, bluffing devils and symptoms and go.
Amen. That's right. You have no other recourse. You got to go. Your time here is gone, boy. I'm telling you. You have gone. You are evicted. I remember I don't remember, Pat might remember, whether it was Curry Blake or John Lake, it said that there's two things. There's fact and there's truth. But truth can always change fact. You understand that? What's the truth? The Word of God. The Word of God is the truth. The fact is, I might feel bad, but the truth is, by his stripes, I'm healed. So, devil, you got to go. And that's our attitude. That's what our attitude. We should take positive authority over the enemy. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, there were five kings. They were all hung on a tree representing the five senses.
Yep.
We have a, if something tastes funny, then it smells funny too, you know, and oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He provided for us something to taste and see. We have to see through spiritual eyes, and we have to hear this too, because it is a teaching. And the feelings here, the feelings are also crucified, because we don't have the physical senses per se. We have the senses of Christ. So I, if that can help anyone, you know, it's still being said, you know, but he was hung on a tree for us too. So it's these kings that are so strong sometimes with us that we have to combat these physical senses. And, you know, I like that verse, though, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. I never thought of it for healing, you know. And I, because you can taste righteousness and you know it's right. But so is the healing is right. So I'm just saying this for encouragement, okay? Because you've got to be encouraged into this too. And the Lord is our courage, and he triumphed over that principality of darkness and wickedness. Triumph is, I think, a celebration of victory in Christ. And if he triumphed over the enemies of the principalities, like there's a huge principality out there with iron and clay and stuff. And all the way back to the gold and silver and brass. So he's triumphing over that man. That's going to be finished soon. He's going to have his feet and his 10 toes. And we have our sandals and our garment of righteousness and our righteous breastplate for battle. And it's all the word of God. And I was kind of hoping someone would bring up the rest of chapter 4 of Hebrews. Amen.
This is a prime opportunity for you to do that. Go ahead.
You got it up. Well, you know,
there's one thing, Andrew. I really wanted to get this across tonight. So if you're going to go in that vein, that's fine.
I just want to encourage people that we have a yoke, and we're yoked to Jesus. I just, you know, like, I know what a yoke is. Like, if you're the bad man in society, they used to put you in the yoke in the city somewhere back in the 1500s, you know, and you were in that yoke because you did something wrong, and society would mock you there in the yoke and maybe throw a rotten egg at you or something. I don't know. They don't have these yokes for disciplining people who are bad in society anymore. But we're yoked to Jesus. And come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He's not talking about your 9-to-5 job, I don't think. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. So, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. And ye shall find rest for your souls. So this soul needs to enter this rest, this sabbatismos. And, you know, over there in, what is it? It's Hebrews chapter 4. There's some really good verses there on rest. I can't remember where it is, so bear with me for a second. But here is saying, let us Therefore, give diligence to enter into that rest, that no one fall after the same example of disobedience. So, you know, we want to obey. We love because he first loved us. If any love me, he'll keep my word. So we want to have obedience. So I think largely it's the love of the Lord for this rest and this entering into this obedience to the by his stripes ye were healed, to lose our life, to gain his life. And I like what was said, let the weak say I am strong, you know, and let the poor say I am rich, you know. And what are we rich in? We're supposed to be rich in the Lord. And to get this word to be active in us, to get this word to be alive in us, is what we want. And I hope that encouraged, because there's, you know, there's, this was 4:11, but he seems to be really stressing this rest here. For he that is entering into the rest hath himself also rested from his works. Well, there's that word works. We know where that is. That word works is in another place. It's in Ephesians 2:10. So we're God's workmanship. And that's a gracious word, to be God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works. Is not this rest a good work? Are we not supposed to, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation? The Holy Spirit says that. You know, the Holy Spirit says, if ye shall hear my voice, harden not your hearts. So this Holy Spirit that we want to be in the name of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus got full Holy Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit we get after his resurrection. So, you know, I try to encourage people, but I want to be encouraged myself, you know, I'm saying it that way, you know. I want to say it that way, because we have to rest, you know. We have to enter this rest. It's like a room you enter into. I mean, if you're gonna, I will give you rest, he said. You know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, the rest was given to us in all these words that were told here in Isaiah to us. It was here that Jesus entered his rest. He was put to sleep for us. And now we have to go and say, according to our baptism even, that when he died, we died. We entered the rest. When he was put in the waters of you know, the rocks, go look it up in Genesis 1 and 9. The rocks came from water, okay? And he's immersed in the tomb, and the tomb was hewn out of the rock, and they rolled a rock. He's in the water of that rock. You know, he's the rock. And the waters are the word of God, which you're submerged into. And Genesis 1:9, same thing is said in 2 Peter 3 and 5. About the waters forming the land, and He's in a tomb of rock, but it's a tomb of water, really. So, and we're, when he was in that tomb, when he was buried, we were buried with him in the waters of the Word. And we come up from this Word of God, this Word that is salvation, but it's the gospel of salvation. It's the power of God. And it's Luke 1:37, for no word of God shall be void of power. And I just want to encourage people that this is the Almighty God's word that we're reading here. And I need this like everyone needs it. I want more. And I need more because there's so much more. When are we going to be put up on the next level, you know, or when do we get there? Is a maturing for us? You know, I feel a little embarrassed being this old, over 60, and still being a child, you know, but I want to be, I want to be a son of God, and, Jesus can make me that, you know. He gives me the word, and it's the almighty word. The divine power is in his word. Since his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. We got to march in that glory. One of the glories is the strength of the Lord. Is it not? Like, isn't one of the glories, do I have to go back to Isaiah 11, 1 and 2 and find out that one of the glories there, that's I was told was a man-child verse. He's going to teach on that stuff there. And it's the first two verses. One of them is strength. It's got the spirit. It's got the wisdom. It's got the fear of the Lord in there. It's got the knowledge, the understanding. And it's got the teaching. And it's got the life and the holiness spirit. The spirit of God is the central light in that lamp that we all have. We walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. That the blood of Jesus shall cleanse us from all our sins. And we already were told that if it's the sins, it's got to be the iniquities and all that other stuff too. So, you know, it's hardening for me to encourage, but I'm going to have to be used to encourage, and I'm probably needing the most encouragement from us all here. So praise and glory to God, for he's the encourager. It's not me. I can't encourage anyone to do anything. I can't encourage. But the Lord's through me, through his grace that saves me. You know, people have been taught about this law so much that they goof up on the grace now, you know. And it's grace, it's not law. The law is a curse, you know. And if you want to be redeemed, you better get away from that curse, you know, because it says so, you know. Christ redeemed us from the curse. You know, do I have to read the rest or just those first three words? How about our Father who art in heaven? You know, who taught us that? And if he's our Father, why are we in this situation? Or any situation? You know, help me, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, for your magnificent glory, your almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen. Oh, Father God, lead us, guide us, keep us in these days. This is your vessel. You call me, and I need you to do these things through me. By grace, I have been saved. Praise and glory to God.
You, Lord God. Yeah, I like to encourage people too, Andrew, and because when I encourage other people, I encourage myself as well. Praise God. You know, if the word says we're healed, then we are. And we need to silence every other voice that talks otherwise. Because the word alone stands alone. And when we see, yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, it. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You know, sometimes, you know, back when there used to be these commercials on TV, you know, they would tell you all what you can get if you take these medicines, but, you know, sometimes you can just get sick listening to the guy saying these things, you know. And I remember one guy, he used to get so fearful for his health. He was a little older than me at my workplace. And I was going, man, this guy's got a lot of fear, you know, on his health, you know. And it was just weird that even being in the vicinity of some people who speak, I don't know if it's a just a different spirit that comes off of them. You hear them, but there's no power if the person has no armor, you know, because he's got no armor of God on him. This division in the church is what's causing this. It causes, I think, confusion. I think division causes confusion. It separates. There's a lot to this division and faction and parties that can attack a person. But what about unity? What about oneness? What about one spirit, one body, the oneness in the Lord? Praise and glory to God, the God who's over all, in all, and through all. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. I just love what the word says. And when the word says it, we have to believe it. Every other thing that comes up in our mind, we need to cast it down. The word stands alone, only. It's it. That's what we look for. And when we see what happened at the cross, he took all of that stuff on him for us. Well, you see, not only the blood, but the burden, the things that he had to go, not even the thorns or the nails, all that, that's just a little of it. The biggest part was when he took everything on it that he wanted to keep us from getting. He took all of the sickness, the disease, the cancers, all of that garbage off of him. Then when we understand what he took on him, we'll never doubt our healing again. Well, you won't. You understand that he took it on him for us. He did it for me. I don't know about y'all, but he did it for me because I read in the word. He said, he did it for me. And you'll never again have to understand that it's God's will to heal you. Because he went to the cross for you. He took all that garbage on him so you wouldn't have to. And to say that we got to wait and see if it's God's will, that's a slap in his face. Because he took all of that on him for everything. Not only healing, provisions, everything. That you knew all the blessings are laid up in heaven for you. And you somebody said, well, I'm just not worthy. Now, worth ain't got nothing to do with it. He went to the cross before you was ever born. It wasn't about whether you're worthy or not. He did it. It's just like coming into the kingdom. Healing is. Deliverance. All of the provisions, all of those things he took on it for us so that we wouldn't have to. We are blessed folks. And all we have to do is step into that blessing. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Just as you were sharing all that and stuff, I was just remembering how the first time, well, every time, but the first time especially, I watched the movie The Passion of the Christ when Jesus was, what he suffered, what, I know that it was a movie and everything, but that was very, very realistic what they did in that movie. And I just, I can't watch that without weeping, knowing what he did. What he did for us, it's just a, and that's probably even, probably not everything, I mean, that was still brutal, but that's probably not all. 'Cause, when you read about what you read, not being recognizable
I was a human.
as a human at all. I know that's just, yeah, he suffered a great deal for us. Nobody suffered more than him.
No, I sure did. Praise God. That's
Thank
the
you,
Jesus. He
Jesus.
loved us so much that he took out upon himself to be the scapegoat for us. Glory
Because of
be to
love.
God.
Yeah, it's not
Because of
us
love.
being goody, not us being good enough, not us being worthy. It's just because he wanted to do it.
Wanted to do it
It's
for
pretty hard
us.
to get your mind around all that and, comprehend all that.
Well, what it should do, it should put a desire in our heart to make him happy that we understand that, and we're going to walk in it.
Yeah.
We're going to walk in it. And I encourage everyone that's on here and listening on the broadcast to just don't accept anything because you heard in the past that, well, maybe God will, maybe He won't. He went through the cross for you, for all of us. It's not a question of whether or not He wanted to or not. He loved us that much to take it all on Him so we wouldn't have to put up with it. That goes for provisions. That goes for it. All, what is it? What's it? I'm trying to think of that verse. Well, anyway, I'll think of it here in a minute. You had a song, Judy, that was applicable to what we're talking about.
The song Debbie sang, she asked me, she sent me a link to it. It's done on YouTube. It's very beautiful, and it was with all the instruments and all that, so she wanted to play that, so I'm gonna do that. I think I still have share permissions, right?
Okay. All right. Yeah, go ahead. I don't think it could be as good as Debbie's singing, though. We'll have to see. Look at humble. Look at humble.
No, it's much better. It's much better, really.
Oh, I doubt it.
Acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement
skies with of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen. All right, anyone else? That was good, but it wasn't as good as the first time I heard it. Anybody else? Missy, you're awful quiet tonight. That's unusual.
All I got to say is, just like the rest of us, we are healed by Jesus' stripes. We thank you, Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
You bore our pain, you bore the sicknesses, you bore everything for us, Lord. You're our inheritance, and everything that you are is ours, Lord. You were never sick. We abide in you. There is no sin in you. There is no curse in you, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you for redeeming us from the curse. Going through all that you have, Lord, we just, it's so unfathomable, Lord. I just, like Julie was saying, it's hard to comprehend, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, only you, only the firstborn son, only the Son of God, the Lamb of God, could have done that. He was without sin. He became sin, that we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, and we praise you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me just mention one other little old thing right quick. Your redemption is not a quarter, a half, or three quarters done, is it? It's fully. You have your redemption. Healing's the same way. You don't have half. You don't have three quarters. You have full healing in your body right now. And it's part of the finished work. It's part of it. We just read it. That's part of the atonement. Jesus was the scapegoat. Took it all on him. Didn't even look like a human when it got through. All hell broke loose on him. And that was one of the reasons, I guess he understood a little bit about what he was fixing to go to when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, pleading with the Lord, Lord, if it be you, you know, if you would, let me pass this cup on. But he had to take it. But if it's your will, I'll do it. That ought to be what we do. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, it would be your will, he said to him. But surely Jesus must have known that. Was he making sure with God about will? Because it's God's will. You know, the covenant has a will to it. It's written on our mind and our heart, what the Lord wills to us to have. But wouldn't it also have been written upon Jesus's mind and heart too? So I question that question that he was questioning the Father with, you know. That just came to me when you said that, Michael, because this will is part of the name. It's part of the name of the Father. And it's part of the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So what kind of question is this really? Is he making sure? Is he? It's not a question of whether he wants to go through it, because we know what it says in one of the verses in Hebrews. He pleaded to that cross because he knew what was coming later from him. You know, he knows he wants brothers and sisters, and he wanted to bear that cross. He wanted to take it with him, you know, and he didn't complain. You know, he didn't get angry with though he went through all that, and I know he probably screamed in agony from pain sometimes, but he even forgave them. You know, some of us, you know, who hit our thumb with a hammer or something, you know. You know, you of course you'll say Jesus. You want to cry out to someone, you know, and sometimes, you know, you think it's a curse word, but because that's what, don't use the Lord's name in vain. You hit your hand. No, that's who you're supposed to cry out for. Just him going through that and being a silent sheep, you know, because it says this about him. He didn't speak back to them. He even forgave them at that cross. And worked to bear our cross too. This forgiveness is a word that I believe is also a spirit of God. Because, you know, love is a spirit of God. And forgiveness is a behavior. As much as it is a word, but it's a forgiveness word of God. It's ingrained in the name and the Spirit of God, and I hope that is correct anyway. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Andrew.
I think Barbara had her hand up before me. Then I'll go.
All right, go ahead, Barbara.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, Jesus was the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. And I would think it was his flesh that didn't want to go to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, but because he loved the Father, and he wanted to go to the cross. You know, he didn't want to go to the cross. I mean, your flesh doesn't want to ever go to the cross, right? But he loved the Father, and he wanted to obey the Father, and you know, because of love, that's why he did die on the cross for us. You know, and he learned obedience all the way up until the cross. He learned obedience by the things he suffered all the way up until the cross. I would think it's his flesh that, you know, Lord, if there's ever a way I can, you know, not have to go through this, but not my will, your will be done. I mean, isn't that what we say? I mean, we don't want to go to the cross sometimes, but we say too, as with Jesus, you know, nonetheless, it's not my will. I want your will, Lord. And I want to be well pleasing to you. And so we go to our cross. I believe that's exactly what Jesus did. He, because of love, you know, he went to the cross. And, but I would think it's his flesh that didn't want to in that hour in Gethsemane, right? Wouldn't you think? I mean, that's what I think. But anyways, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for loving us to go to the cross for us. And let us do the same too, Lord, every day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Debbie.
It's just that extent that he shows us that he went through. Yeah, I don't think his flesh wanted to, but he died to his flesh. He just put that flesh down and submitted to the will of the Father. He could do it through all he went through. We can do it. We can endure. I mean, he endured it all. You know, he could, like they said, I don't know if it's true. I mean, is there a song or something? He could have taken himself down off that cross, I suppose. Angels, is there some 1,000 angels could have taken him off or something, but he endured it. So, but yeah, he didn't want to go to these. He'd be like, "Will, let this cup pass from me." So anyway, I just want to, I want to say, Lord, let it be thy will that I go through this and endure to the end. And, you know, I mean, to it, the manifestation has come, but still believing, and we're healed.
Yeah. That was love. That was love. Yeah. He did.
Yes, it was love.
Amen.
You know, and amen. Amen. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't mean to interrupt you, Debbie.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry.
Are you through?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, think about Peter. And 1 Peter 2:24. He said, "By your stripes you were healed." So he knew that Jesus took all of our diseases and all our stuff on him, didn't he? He knew that we weren't going to be healed someday. We already were healed. All we have to do is receive it. That is outstanding stuff. He knew it. Back over in Isaiah 53, he says, "are healed." And here he says it, Peter, or Paul says, "were healed." Praise God. It's not being healed, not will be healed someday. You already were healed. All we have to do is claim it. Can you imagine what's going on in your body when you claim your healing? You can't see those little things going around in it. Uh-oh, we got to get these guys out of here. And they go to work while you're claiming and confessing. Commanding that devil to leave. And he's got to get his suitcase and all his little buddies and go with him. Everything has to be, has to go. Folks, he's already got the door open. Y'all got to go. We don't want to. It don't make no never mind. You got to go. He's already got the solid evidence that we have to go. We're not allowed here anymore. And that's the way you have to do it. That's the way I'm going to do it. That devil's got a hard beating coming. Yeah, Debbie.
Well, I just wanted to share that I've been going through some things, you know, that the devil's going to make, bring these things up my face, you know, things in my body and stuff. And I've been really rebuking him and just coming against him when I feel them. And, and the pains, the headaches, other things that go. And today I had a real attack. I was bleeding. And I just, you know, the devil's like, all these thoughts to come to your head. And I know that's the devil. I know it's not truth. And I was just coming against him and rebuking him. Saying, I don't receive this. I resist you. I do not receive this. I'm just really, you know, taking authority Amen. Over him. And and everything turned out fine. You know, I'm fine. You know, I know I am. No matter what he does, he's the liar. And I just got to call him the liar, you know. And so anyway, I felt I needed to testify that I've been getting victory and coming against the devil, just resisting him. Not letting those thoughts even start penetrating, like, oh, what could it be? You know, not that at all. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here and you're all healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? We got 9 minutes. Anybody want to pray for yourself? I do. Ooh, 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 ooh. Remember that? Go ahead, Julie.
I just wanted to add one little thing. We were talking about what Barbara shared and what Debbie shared and all that in Gethsemane, and I was thinking this, exactly the same things you were and what you shared, but it just that he, I don't know how long, I'm not sure how long he was in Gethsemane, but I know he agonized there and wanted his disciples to, pray with him, stay awake with me and pray. But they were tired and sleepy and that. But I'm sure, he was agonizing over the temptations he was facing with, because he, I was thinking how it was his flesh didn't want to go. I was like, Father, please, this can be passed. I can, pass this cup, then please, if it's your will. And, because I'm sure he was being, we know what we suffer in our minds, our souls, our emotions, our the imaginations, everything. And I'm sure that the Lord have dealt with much greater level of torments, by the tormenting. I'm saying being tempted and tormented by the devil about what he was going to face, because he, I think he knew, he came here to die, and he knew that. But and then again, that he is our example of humbling himself and subjecting himself to the Father's will, that would, and teaching us that and just that when we can relate to him in that regard, not that we would ever suffer the way he did, but he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, it says. And in Romans, oh, I can't remember exactly where it is, but if, we overcome, and that we are joint heirs with Christ as we suffer with him, because we share in his suffering, understanding to the degree what it is not to want to sin and to come against that, and not given to our flesh. So it's being able to do that same kind of warfare emotionally, spiritually, against the temptations that we get faced with, in our mind, in our emotions, and wanting just to, sometimes for me anyway, just wanting to get out of the trial. But you stay in it. He wants to stay in it and endure to the end, whatever that is. And he sees us as those overcomers of those things that we are being tempted with. In 1 John 4, where it talks about, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And that, where he talks about, where John wrote, I've written to you fathers, I've written to you children, I've written to you, what does he call them? Sons? I can't remember what the other one, but anyhow, it's just this, the, I think it's that as being the stages of children, star glory, moon glory, sun glory, the different growths, and that we overcome the evil one, because we are strong in the Lord and the word is in us. And so it's like those things encourage me that Jesus made the way, and we have to suffer as he did, and he showed us how. And even that, even his human son of man, human, wanted to, be free from, the trial, but he endured it, so he showed us there's a way to do it, and he made a way in his strength. That's the only way we can do it, is in his strength, and submitting to our Father's will, and laying down our lives, and going to our cross, and fighting the good fight of the faith, and knowing that there's an end to it. There's an end to it, just as there is an end for everything. There's a beginning, there's an end. So we know there's an end to our trials. So we just have to endure that, and we keep fighting the good fight. So like Debbie was saying, it's like, you don't accept it. I don't accept the curse. Jesus took this curse. It's not mine. Devil has no right. He has no authority because I don't live anymore. It's Christ in me, and there's no curse in there, in Christ, in the body of Christ. So that's kind of what I was, my thoughts on those scriptures and the suffering and what, sharing in his suffering, the way we go through the trials, because he showed us how to do it. Amen. That's all.
Glory be to God. All right, I want to pray. Y'all listen up and agree with me, okay? Because it's going to be for you also. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you that we are free. And I thank you, Lord, that we are the children of the living God. We're taking our place and we're going to walk in this inheritance that was bought with the blood and stripes of the spotless Lamb. And we're not going to beg. We're not going to doubt. We're not going to plead. We're only going to believe. And we're going to rest and rejoice because the Lord Jesus bore it. And that's the final word. He bore it. Therefore, we don't have to. He carried it. Therefore, I am free. My people here are free. He was wounded. Therefore, we are whole. He was bruised. Therefore, we got peace. He was chastised, therefore we are at rest. And with his stripes we are healed. And the world can sit out there and make fun all they want to. Tradition can rage and say he don't heal anymore. But we're going to hang with you, Lord, and we know what the word says. Bless God, and devil, you do too. So in the name of Jesus right now, it's ours. We take it right now. We're not going to doubt. We're not going to waver. We're not going to retreat. We stand, we speak, and we rejoice, for we are healed. The word of God says it. We believe it, and we're going to confess it every day. Somebody asks you, well, how's your whatever it is that you got wrong with you? I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't got it. I thank you, Lord, that by his stripes we are healed. And that's our declaration to anyone that asks. That's our anthem. That's your victory. You want to see us healed, Lord, and I know you do, because you went to the cross to do that. And I praise you, Father, that everybody here is listening and believes is healed from this moment on, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, and I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I thank you for all the wonderful words that were given. And I praise you, Lord, that tonight it's going to be a turning point for many people. And we're going to walk in divine health. We're not going to let the enemy take us out. Ain't going to happen, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, we are bold in our faith because we believe. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. I like that's what Joseph's got. The Lord Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And if he says I'm healed, then bless God, I'm healed. And y'all too. Anybody else? You got 30 seconds. Amen. Does anybody got any questions about what we talked about tonight? Everybody should have gotten something out of it. All right. Good night, y'all. Bless y'all.